Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow.
Are you ready for the word this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that in Christ you've made us righteous. And we thank you, Lord, that the Lamb of God has become a great lion. And we just thank you, Lord, for roaming this region and bringing healing to all the sheep and lambs you see. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and let's hold them up and let's say this together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. The most humble thing I can do is agree with God. And he says, in Christ, I am righteous, adequate, chosen, blood-bought, anointed, and empowered. I am a lamb in the natural, but a lion in the spirit. Amen. So we're going to begin a brand new series this morning, Awaken. Everybody say, awaken unto righteousness. Awaken unto righteousness. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. And it says, awaken unto righteousness and sin not. Awaken unto righteousness and sin not. So this is not a trick question. It's a simple question. Which of those comes first? Awaken unto righteousness. So then the byproduct of this awakening and belief that we are righteous in and through Christ and not of ourselves produces the fruit of sin not. Okay? It's not that the church stops sinning and all of a sudden becomes righteous. It's not that the church quits sinning and she becomes righteous. We're either righteous in Christ or we're not righteous. We're either righteous in him. There is no self-righteousness. Amen. Right? Amen. So we're either righteous in Christ or we're not righteous. I remember ministering in prison several years ago, and the Lord just kind of prompted me to ask this question. I said, how many of you are as righteous as I am? And about, 10 maybe raised their hand. And then I said, how many of you are as righteous as the Apostle Paul? And there was only like 3 or 4. I said, how many of you are as righteous as Jesus Christ? And not one hand went up. And I said, so you're telling me we don't have one born-again Christian in this chapel? And of course, we had a bunch of born-again Christians in that chapel, but they did not see themselves as righteous because they weren't righteous through Christ. It's that self-righteous, religious righteousness that tricks us every time. Does that make sense to you? Everybody in this room, if you're righteous, you're righteous in Christ. Not in and of what you've done to merit or occasion some kind of self-righteousness. So that makes this statement then not just a command. This is a fact. This is a principle that empowers us to righteous living. So my job every week is to remind you how righteous you are, how clean, how close with God you are. I don't want to major on sin not, sin not, sin not. Next week I'll list every sin you should not commit. Then we're going to be sin focused. Right? Could you imagine just being enamored with sin, all the sins we're not supposed to do, when we could be enamored with righteousness and how holy we are in Jesus Christ? Amen. So this is a principle, this is a truth here that is empowering. A lot of you think Jesus died on the cross, just because of your sin. What if Jesus died on the cross because he knew your potential? What if Jesus died on the cross because he really knew your value? And that you were created in righteousness through Adam, it was stripped from you, but Jesus Christ got it back for you. What if he died for you because of that? Amen. Now somebody's awake. Thank you, Jesus. What if he died for you because he understands your true identity, your divine assignment? That the very purpose of God summoned your existence. That God's plan for this area summoned your existence. That you didn't just manifest because your parents had a hot date one night. But Almighty God summoned you. Did he take eternity and split it and invent something called time and set it right there in the midst of eternity? He did. He invented time. And then at just the right time, did he manifest Jesus Christ? Yeah. Bible says he did. At just the right time, did he manifest Paul? Yep. Timothy? Abraham? Moses? You're no different. You're no different. We can't sit here and say, well, all the Bible heroes, God manifested them, but we just came because our parents were excited one night. No, we're manifested because God himself and his purpose summoned our existence for such a time as this. Clap your hands for such a time as this. Amen. Woo! See, God wants to awaken us to all kinds of things in this season. He wants to awaken us to righteousness, awaken us to the truth, awaken us to our value, awaken us to our identity. God wants to awaken you to your assignment in him. You are not a laborer. You're not a worker. You're not a laborer. You know what a laborer is? A laborer is somebody that gets exploited and taken advantage of, where a few people get rich at the expense of a bunch of laborers. You're not a laborer. You're a child of God. You're part of the family of God, and you don't labor. You have divine assignment. God wants you awakened to your divine assignment on this planet, not just being a laborer for somebody else who's trying to get rich off your back. Woo, come on. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You're not a laborer. You're a child of God who has a divine assignment. Yes. You say, well, I don't understand that. You know, I'm a plumber and I work as a plumber. Okay. But you're still a child of God who may be at that plumbing business because there's a lot of plumbers there who need Christ. So that's your divine assignment. I'm not saying we don't work. It's the image of God in man to work. God worked 6 days and he rested. Okay, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we're not just created as a laborer or a slave. Amen. Isn't it funny how we'll be at work, you know, in the workplace sometime, and we'll be like, God, you got to get me out of here. There's heathen everywhere. God, you got to help me. And then God's saying, you got to help me. I mean, look at all these people who need Christ. You're not there as a worker bee. You're there on divine assignment. Children of God have assignments. Are you hearing me? Are you receiving it? Because I'll say it even if you don't receive it. Because, amen, that's what I'm supposed to do. I got to say what he asked me to say. Fair enough? Labor enriches a few at the expense of many. That's not what you're made for. You have a divine assignment. God wants to awaken the sleeping body of Christ. You know, I can't help but think in the Gospel of Mark how Jesus is asleep on the boat. He's got a pillow even. He's asleep. Amen. He's asleep. Thank God for pillows. But I think God wants to awaken the sleeping Christ, the sleeping body of Christ in America. I think God wants to awake up this nation. I mean, what kind of stupor is this nation in? Well, who's he going to start with? Us. Amen. The ones who can actually do something about it. People who have weapons of warfare that are spiritual. Amen. And not carnal. Amen. Or even political. Yes. They're greater weapons. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen? You know, it's like, come forth, Lazarus. You've been dead too long. How about the idea of the little girl where Jesus said, hey, don't mourn, don't weep. She is not dead. She is just sleeping. What if that's the body of Christ today? You know, there's just prophetic pictures everywhere where God wants to awaken us to what he wants to do. How about awaken us to his purpose? Awaken us to his power in and through us, our potential in Christ. God wants to awaken the person next to you this morning. Thank you. I'm not talking like they're physically asleep. If they are, you can wake them up. But we can't have a sleeping Christ next to us. It's Christ in the person next to you. Yes, we don't want a sleeping Christ next to us. So Lord, use me to awaken Christ in my neighbor. Lord, use me to awaken Christ in my spouse. Lord, use me to awaken Christ in my children because the hour seems growing short. Can I get a witness? I mean, can we awaken from sleep here? Lord, use me to awaken the church down the street if they need to be woken up. Lord, use me to do it. Are we our brother's keeper? You bet we are our brother's keeper. Lord, use me to awaken Christ. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Come on. Better get your running shoes on. Amen. Lord, wake up our praise. Lord, wake up our worship. Who wants to do three songs and then a sermonette for Christianettes? I mean, God, wake in our church services. Take away our programs. What did I say last week? Most churches are on life support. We call them programs. We don't need programs. We need Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit operating through His people. And not just on Sunday, amen? And we don't need people who just come on Sunday to drink for themselves. We gotta start drinking and eating for overflow to everybody else that God wants to send us to. Amen? It's a dry and weary land out there. Listen to this word. This came prophetically this morning at the end of first service. Where the Lord said, this is your confession. This is what I need you to say. I need you to believe it. I am a kingdom asset. I am highly valued. I am assigned where I'm at based on God's value of me. I am His resource. Isn't that awesome? I am His resource filled with His Spirit. I am His outpost, fully sourced and placed strategically as an oasis in a dry and thirsty land. Amen. That's the church, amen? That's the body of Christ. So we're going to awaken unto righteousness. I don't even need to mention the second one. If you're awake to who you are in Christ, sin looks a whole lot more stupid. Amen. Really, it looks dumb. I'm clean. I'm close. I'm right with God. What dealing do I have with that? He goes on to say, confess that you're a supply station for the starving, for the hungry, and for the thirsty. Amen. That's who we are in Christ. Lord, wake up our prayer times. Wake up our marriages. Wake up our gifts. Wake up our assignment grace. Wake us up to our righteous identity in Christ. I don't want Him to have given Himself for nothing. I want to take Him at His word. You don't honor Jesus by just saying, He's incredible, He has everything, He has power, I have nothing. I'm just a nothing. That doesn't honor Him. If you want to honor Him, see yourself how He sees you. I am righteous, I'm a priest, I'm a king in the kingdom of God. I am equipped, amen? I have more than enough in and through Him. August the 9th at 5 a.m., I got this prophetic word from the Lord. I can usually hear a lot better early in the morning. So at first when he wakes me up, I try to rebuke the devil and then I figure out, oh, it's him. And so I'll get up and write down what he said. August 9th at 5 a.m. Awaken unto your true identity. Arise to who I say you are. You are not an unrighteous being trying to be righteous. This is huge. Could you imagine if God told a bunch of sinners who aren't really righteous, they're really just sinners, hey guys, I know you're a sinner, but now go be something you cannot possibly be. Go be holy. Go be righteous. Go produce righteousness. That doesn't even seem right, does it? If you look at evangelical Christianity, so much of it is rooted in sinners saved by grace. And so here you've got God supposedly telling these people who are just sinners to go out and live righteously. He's not telling you that. He's telling you how righteous you are, how pure you are, how holy in Christ He's made you. And as a man thinks in his heart,
yes, so is he.
So is he. Does it make sense? I love this line right here. This is straight from his mouth, you know, to ours. He says, you're not an unrighteous being trying to be righteous. I'm not asking you to be something you're not. I'm admonishing you to be who I put in you to be who I say you are, to be who I created you to be. Your enemy wants to deal with your behavior. I want to deal with your beliefs about yourself. Woo! Thank God for 5 a.m. lectures from the Holy Spirit. The enemy wants to deal with behavior. He wants to deal with the natural. He wants to lock you into what you see. I want to deal with truth, and I want to deal with your beliefs about yourself. Growing up in church, so much of it was behavior, behavior, behavior. We're going to modify behavior. If they'd have just told me who I was in Christ. Now, they can't make me believe it, but had I heard the truth, I have to believe in good faith. I would have accepted it and believed it, and that would have produced righteousness in behavior. Jesus cares more about what you believe about yourself than how you behave. Because your behavior comes out of what you believe about yourself. Amen, somebody. Come on. See, I'm not light on sin. I'm heavy on righteousness. And boy, what state would the church be in today? We'd be a lot further along if we'd majored in righteousness instead of sin management. The goal of Christian life being sin management. You know, don't commit this one, don't commit this one. Our doing comes out of our being and who we believe we are. It's so important that we can recognize what he's saying here. I'm not asking you to be something you're not. I made you righteous. The enemy wants to deal with your behavior. I want to deal with your beliefs about how you see yourself. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Therefore, be careful what self-views and definitions you allow into your heart and mind. Be careful who and what you let define you. Do they line up with me? Do they line up with my words about you? If you'll but awaken unto your righteousness in me, tremendous, look, empowerment in this season awaits. Empowerment! Amen. Man, how many of you think we ought to release the young people of this church into empowerment and into righteousness? Not sit there and coach them up on here's all the things that church people don't do. Man, tell them who they are. Tell them who Christ made them. Tell them that they became righteous through Christ's behavior, not theirs. Amen. You know God had to convince you were righteous before he could ever get you to live that way. Why is God still trying to convince the church we're righteous? Because we bought a lie of self-righteousness. We thought it was up to us. Romans 10 talks about that there was people who did not submit. Everybody say submit. Submit to the righteousness of God. And they sought to establish a righteousness of their own. Self-righteousness. So self and religion have baited us. And we need to accept the finished work of Christ. Do you realize, guys, if you don't start where he finished, you're going to struggle. And you're going to spend your whole Christian life trying to get something that Christ gave you from day one you were born again. You spend your whole life trying to become righteous, stay righteous, get righteous, and you had it the day righteousness moved into your heart. Amen. Amen. Are we getting somewhere? So we need to awaken to the idea, just some simple truths. Awaken to the idea that God cannot lie. Awaken to the idea that the truest thing about you is what God says about you. Who wants to live a lie? Who wants to live in a false reality? Right? But when you misbehave, the enemy says, oh, that's who you are, because he wants to deal with behavior. He wants to deal with the natural. God will always deal with you in truth. Whoever comes to God must acknowledge that he is God, right? And worship him in spirit and in truth. He sees, you know, we're so good at seeing ourselves without him. And yet when he looks at us, he always sees him in us. So we need to awaken to the idea that the truest thing about us, what God says about us. We need to awaken to the idea. Listen to this. If your view of you doesn't match God's view of you, then you're wrong. You want to repent. Before you repent of the behavior, repent of the belief and the lie that you believed that led to that behavior. Repent of the lie that you believed about yourself that led to that behavior. Repent of the idea that you thought that behavior, a sin, could satisfy you. You're too great of creation to be satisfied by sin. Anybody ever tried sin? Anybody ever left wanting? Absolutely. It can't satisfy you. You're not made by sin for sin. You're made by God for God. We need to awaken to the idea just because you think, feel, or believe something about yourself doesn't mean it's true. How about this? Awaken to the idea that just because you behaved in a certain way doesn't mean that's true about you. Amen. I've told a lie before. And you know what the enemy told me? You're a liar. That's what he said. He wants me to identify with an action, with a behavior in the natural. Do you realize that we can believe a lie and not act or live in truth? I can behave in a way that's not true about me. It's called deception. Jesus said, if knowing the truth sets a man free, believing a lie would set him into bondage. So don't let the enemy say, well, you behave that way, that must be the truth about you. No, enemy, what I did is I danced with a false belief about myself. That is not true about me. Does that make sense to you? There's truth that exists beyond how you behave. The truth was here long before you got here. The truth will be here long after you're gone. You don't determine truth as a human being. You just decide whether you want to dance with it or not. Jesus said, if you'll come to know it, It'll set you free. You're made for the truth. Well, that's powerful. We need to awaken to the idea that just because you choose not to believe something good God says about you doesn't mean it's not true. We can be deceived. We can believe something that's not true about ourselves. And isn't it crazy that the most humble thing we can do is agree with who God says we are? And he says in Christ we're righteous. So humility is not me never saying anything good about myself. Humility says my opinion of me doesn't matter. It's only God's opinion of me that matters. That's humility. Woo, that's powerful. Can I say it again? Humility doesn't mean I never say anything good about me. Humility says my opinion of me does not matter. God's opinion, the one who made me, he has the truth about me. And I will humble myself and agree with it. Amen. Doesn't it make sense that truth comes from the one who made you? Man, are we having fun yet? Absolutely. We need to awaken to the idea that agreeing with God is an act of humility, not pride. Awaken to the idea that your performance doesn't determine what's true about you. It only determines whether you experience the life and peace of what is true about you. Is it true of everyone in this room that God loves you unconditionally? Is that true? Yes. It is. Is it true about people outside of this building, even people that don't know him, does he love them? Yes. Yes. Is it possible they can live the rest of their life never acting on or participating with that truth? And will it set them free, or will they find bondage and pain and estrangement and sadness? And yeah. See, behavior doesn't determine the truth. It only determines whether they experience the life and peace of what is the truth. Yes. So the only difference between us and them is we believed the truth and we were transformed. Yes. And that's what Christianity is about. It's not about going to heaven. It's about being transformed. Yes. It's not about God putting you on easy street and answering all your prayers so you never have to struggle through anything. It's about being transformed. Amen. So when we talk about identity and righteousness, the enemy builds his case around your behavior. God builds his case about you on truth. Romans 2:2 for your notes. Listen to this. The judgment of God is according to truth. The judgment of God is according to truth. He's not going to judge you on your behavior. He's going to ask you. It's simple. What he's talking about is not about losing your salvation or anything like that. He's talking about there's an evaluation. How did you do with the truth? Did you believe it? Did you believe the truth about you? Did you believe the truth about me? The judgment of God, Romans 2:2, is according to truth. We're going to be evaluated based on what we did with the truth about us. If I'm going to be evaluated on it, I'm dancing with it. I don't care even if I feel unrighteous. I'm daring to believe I'm righteous if God says I am. Amen? In John 12, Jesus said, if someone doesn't believe me, I don't judge them. He had people that didn't believe he was who he said he was. And he said in John 12, I don't judge them because I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save the world. And he said, but there is one who will judge them, and he'll be judged by the words I say. Truth. We'll be judged based on the truth. How many of you know? He's Lord of all, whether anybody believes it or not.
Amen.
So belief doesn't determine the truth. Belief allows you to dance with the truth. Amen. What a good dose of humility for the Christians that what we believe doesn't make everything true. Well, I don't believe that. It must not be true. There's truth that exists beyond what you believe, what you think. God contains the truth. Amen?
Yes.
So our behavior is simply a byproduct of what we believe to be true about ourselves. That's the whole faith without works thing. The faith without works principle. Because grace people struggle with that sometimes. I don't know how do I marry that? He's saying we have to have, you know, works or evidence, you know. All he's saying is at the end of our lives, how many of you know we'll be able to look back and tell pretty quickly what we believed was true about ourselves? Our deed is our creed. Over the course of time, we'll be able to see what we did with the truth. Who we believed God was and who Steve believed he was will be revealed. Amen. So let's start believing the truth. Let's start walking in the truth if we're going to be evaluated based on truth. 3 John 1:4 says there's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I think that's a powerful concept when the enemy says, hey, if you behave that way, that's the truth about you. No, that behavior could be based on a lie. It is not rooted in the truth every time. So what I'm saying is, I think the day has come for the church to quit telling people to quit sinning and actually dare people to start believing the truth.
Amen.
The church's assignment is dare people to believe. We don't have behavior problems. We have belief issues. And if we'll fix our belief issues, our behavior will get a lot better.
Amen.
Amen. Clap your hands if you believe that. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face. Everybody say unveiled face. Look at that. Unveiled face. This is a new covenant. Unveiled face. Beholding as in a mirror. Everybody say a mirror. The glory of the Lord. So here we go. You're looking in a mirror and what are you beholding? The glory of the Lord. And when we do, we're being transformed into His same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So every time you look in the mirror, you're supposed to behold God's glory. Yeah, it's true. And if your spouse is looking in the mirror and feeling pretty humdrum, you need to remind them. When you walk by that mirror, you're to see the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is the view and opinion of God. Jesus said in John 17, Father, the glory you've given me, I give it to them. I mean, you're full of the glory of God, church. You're full of the glory of God. When's the last time you walked by the mirror and said, dude, you're amazing?
Amen.
I mean, I want you to practice it at home. I want you to walk by. I want you to catch yourself. And then be drawn and say, dude, I see the glory of God in you. I see the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. I see your love for Jesus Christ, and I see that He's in love with you.
Oh,
amen, somebody? That's what He's saying we need to do. You need to walk by and say, what an absolutely stunning creation. When I look in your eyes, I see the glory of God. Thank you, Father, that you adore me. Thank you, Father, that you made me righteous. And you've made me holy. You put your Spirit. You know, Ezekiel says his very Spirit is inside of you. God said, I'll put my Spirit in you. Ezekiel 36. There are people who wouldn't think about saying this when they walk by the mirror. You want to know why? Because they're not interested in agreeing with the truth. They're a lot more interested in living by the natural and carnal things. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, from now on, we know no man after the flesh.
Hallelujah.
Only by the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Now, if we don't know any man after the flesh, but after the Spirit, wouldn't that be true about knowing ourselves as well?
Yep.
From now on, I don't know myself by the flesh. I know myself by the truth, by the Spirit. And I want to be one of those people that's very interested in walking in truth. Not living by carnality and natural appearances, right?
Right.
You know, and you say, well, that's just crazy. We always wait too long for other people to encourage us. We need to encourage ourselves.
Yeah.
Why can't we look in the mirror and say, listen, what God says about us. I'm not saying make up stuff. Just say what He says about you.
Yes.
Amen, somebody. So this is us now. This is us. Now this cat, he got it going on, see? This is faith. This is belief in the truth. Look at him. Look how his shoulders are upright. Look how his head is turned. This is not fallacy. This is the truth. This is the truth about you as a born again Christian. Amen. And guys, I know you can do this because guys, you walk by the mirror all the time and see muscles that aren't even there. Amen. It's like, what do you think, honey? I didn't realize that was there. She's like, well, I never saw it either. But anyway, you know, the girls, they'll see every wrinkle. The guys will be like, I got muscles that aren't even there. Oh yeah. She is so lucky to have me. Oh my goodness. Put this in your notes. I need you to write this down. Stop letting your ability to fail define you as a failure. Stop letting your ability to fail define you as a, boy, I feel the Spirit of God in this room. Stop letting your ability to fail define you as a failure. See, we're always trying to change ourselves. We're always trying to fix ourselves using religion and outward behavior. If you want to be transformed, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Oh, that's so powerful. We so often see ourselves without Him. He's all the time seeing us with Him. Religion in the world says what you do determines who you are. God says who you are now will determine what you do. A loving, God-fearing heart says, hey, who my Father says I am, that's who I am. That determines who I am. The truth determines who I am. And I don't always dance with the truth, but Father, I thank you. I'm coming to know the truth. I'm coming to know the truth. There's no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I'm growing in truth. I'm growing in my knowing. Does that make sense? Just keep getting acquainted with truth. You know, in the banks, the counterfeit money, they give them so much of the real stuff, they can recognize counterfeit or deception immediately. That's what God's trying to do right now with the body of Christ. Give you so much truth, so much identity, so much righteousness in Him that immediately when the enemy says, hey, you're this, hey, you're that, you say, no. No, that's a lie. That's a counterfeit. Amen. Humility, again, I'm going to say it again, doesn't mean we never say anything good about ourselves. It means our opinion of ourselves doesn't matter. God's opinion of us is what matters. And a good Christian heart doesn't wake up and say, okay, today for sure, you know, I'm not going to commit a sin. A good Christian heart wakes up and rejoices every day in what God accomplished for you through Jesus Christ. That's what you do. Thank you, Father. See how it's based upon Him. It's based upon Him. It's not self righteousness. It's Christ-based righteousness. I mean, it's true across the board, even in the way of forgiveness. Do we have are we looking to self-based forgiveness? Or are we looking to Christ-based forgiveness? Because God uses a blood-based economy for forgiveness. Blood-based. Not you-based. Blood-based. And that's already been shed. Look at Isaiah 32, verse 17 and 18. The work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, how many of you know righteousness has an effect? When you start believing it, quietness and assurance or confidence forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. So they're not laborers anymore. They're at rest. They're on divine assignment. They're His. I'm no longer looking around trying to get love. I am love. I want to be love. You see the difference? I'm not trying to get right with God. I am right with God through Christ. So I'm available. I can be used. Peace with God equals peace with me. How many of you would like to be at peace with yourselves? I mean, right? It's empowering. So only through peace with God could I come to terms with myself. But once I'm at peace with myself, I can be at peace with others, even if they don't want peace with me. I'm no longer subject to everybody and everything out here. Peace is in here. Make sense? Jeremy, you guys can come. I'm just going to close. I'm going to give you these three things here. Three steps to victorious living, to reigning in life. None of us like to be defeated. None of us. You want to know why? Because you're made for ruling and reigning. Go back to Genesis. We'll look at it next week. You're made to rule. Replenish the earth, subdue, He said. Multiply. Replenish, subdue. So we're made to win. We don't like it when we get beat up. Well, how do we do it? We're going to win by God's grace. We're going to win by the free gift of righteousness. And we're going to win through the one man, Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one, that's Adam, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? will those who receive abundance of grace, how do we get it? Receive it. And receive the gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, that's Adam, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. I love how he's contrasting here, because he said, how much more power does the second Adam, Christ, have to undo what the first Adam did? You were not born, or excuse me, you didn't become a sinner because you committed one. You were born a sinner. So you had to be born again. You had to be born into righteousness. And Christ got you that by his Spirit. Does that make sense? I don't know if that shocks you. You didn't become a sinner because you committed one. You were born into sin because of the first head of the race, Adam. But the second Adam came and made righteousness available as a free gift. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, the many will be made right with God. Somebody clap your hands for righteousness. Amen. Stand with me. Amen. Thank you, Father. I told you I felt the Holy Spirit here this morning, and He's washing our minds, washing our hearts. Gathered church, if you're here today, and you're willing to say, you know what, I'm going to dare to believe everything God says about me, no matter how good it is. And I'm not going to look in the mirror the same way. If you're ready for a shift in your thinking, will you just lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Amen. Praise God all over this room. Father, thank you for washing their minds in Jesus' name. Thank you for humility that has come. We humble ourselves. Forgive us for trying any kind of righteousness outside of what was gifted to us. And Lord Jesus, if it was gifted to us, it's ours. Thank you for changing our hearts. Thank you for changing our minds. Amen. Brother Jeremy, would you just sing over us? Man, I just sense the anointing here that breaks yokes. I bind the spirit of the accuser. I bind the spirit of condemnation. I bind the spirit of guilt in Jesus' name. Be set free. Be washed clean today. You are who God says you are. Nothing more, nothing less. We break the back of condemnation and guilt and shame. Come on, just receive the Holy Spirit. He's here. He's present. This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.